So let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Actually, Luke chapter 19. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the Son of Man coming down from glorious heaven to sin-troubled earth, all out of an immense love for sinners. When he sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, what an ocean of love that blood revealed. And so we come in the name of that Savior, Father, sent on the mission to proclaim his compassion for those who don't even know they are lost, but can be found, like us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We're in Luke 19, 1 through 10. Notice that we're in Jericho again. And P.S., another search and rescue mission. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All God's people said, amen. Last time you were in a hospital, no doubt your concerns were located elsewhere, whether you were a patient, a visitor, or perhaps you worked there. But did you notice the sign that is found in many hospitals prominently displayed? And it's the mission statement of the hospital. What are we here to do? Why are we here? And this brief reminder found in many places, maybe at the entrance or maybe in one of the elevators or elsewhere in the building, it answers that question, why are we here? What are we to do? Now, it might seem obvious to many, well, you're to help people feel better. Okay, but that continual reminder, that visual manifestation, that busy people, even while they know why they're going to a hospital, need to see again and again. The mission statement is so important, even when it seems rather obvious. Well, so too in the Christian church. Why are we here? What are we doing? Or more pointedly, what are we doing now that can only be done now and not in heaven? You might say, well, the Christian church is about love, yes. It's about fellowship, yes. It's about worship, yes. But all those things are better in heaven than on earth. They're perfected in heaven, certainly not here. But there's one thing we can only do while we're in the here and now. Can't do it in the glories to come. To seek and to save that which was lost. This is your only opportunity to do it. And so in our text, in verse 10 in particular, Jesus gives his mission statement. Please take a look at it. What does he say? Why has the Son of Man come? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which or who was lost. As the Father sent the Son into the world, John 20 says that we likewise have been sent to do the same thing. Now, we come this morning to the story of Zacchaeus, and I've pointed the connection already to the rescue of Rahab in Jericho also. Did you ever ask yourself, why so much detail about Rahab? I mean, I know she shows up in James chapter 2 as an example of faith with works, right? She's highlighted, as is Abraham. And she gives hope to those polluted, like stained with sin, to come and find forgiveness. But why so much detail about how she operates in the story? Is it dependent upon her remarkable response? Well, not really. I mean, the conquest of Jericho would happen one way or another, and those walls come a-tumbling down, children. And the walls came a-tumbling down. But it's really a rescue mission for someone who's elect with her household. And Joshua is going into that city to take out some of God's people. It's search and rescue. And Jesus is doing the same here. And for the sake of your conversation tonight, I'll slow down so you get the 4 points. All right? These are the 4 things you'll want to notice before we begin to unpack the text even further. But there are remarkable affinities or contrasts between chapters 19 and 18. This story of Zacchaeus, while simple and endearing, really highlights a number of the ideas Luke in his gospel has been unpacking. If you just turn the page rather quickly, what have we learned? Well, the rich young ruler. Oh, it's harder than a camel passing the eye of a needle for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Well, what do you know? Here's the camel. His name is Zacchaeus. Comparison number one. Comparison number two. The chapter, Luke 18, also contrasts a proud Pharisee, self-righteous, with a humble tax collector. Wow! It's Zacchaeus. Number three. Blind Bartimaeus can't see Jesus, but Jesus can see him. Well, Zacchaeus is so short he can't see Jesus either. So he has to get up in a tree. And there, the visual contact is established. And here's one other comparison. Chapter 18 will extol, as it were, the dependence of children, right? That you have to enter as a child into the kingdom and they should not be hindered. Well, little Zacchaeus, I don't know how tall he was, but that little man is like a child. And there are even more striking images brought forth in the text. But did you get those 4? So maybe you can talk about it tonight. So this story doesn't just happen. It highlights at least 4 of the themes Luke in his gospel has been developing. So what's the point for you and me? Friends, we are either like the Zacchaeus Jesus is seeking, or being found like the disciple we are going out to find Zacchaeus. Are you looking for Zacchaeus? Have you brought a Zacchaeus to this church recently? You're friendly to people who are brought by others. Have you brought your own? Are you seeking, even if they don't come to worship. Because Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. So let's begin with a little description of this man Zacchaeus, who we could call is lost but looking. Zacchaeus is lost but looking. Where do we begin with Zacchaeus? Well, he's lost looking, but he's loaded. He's a rich man. At some point early in his life, he said, I want to be a tax collector. Now, that carried a big price tag with it, because if you became a tax collector and you worked for the Roman government, everybody would hate you. You represent Rome. You make more money by extortion. You lie about how much tax people really have to pay, and you're, you know, skimming off that. And what are they going to do? They have to pay, because they don't want to get in trouble with the Roman IRS, so they'll pay you what you say. And he works his way up, despite the fact that he's socially outcast and morally reprehensible, that even the prostitutes are better than he is, that he would not be allowed in the synagogue or the temple. They would look down upon him and his children, no matter how finely his wife was dressed, no matter what car he drove. He's a tax collector. And if you look at the text, he worked his way up, did he not? He's the chief tax collector. He's the head of the mafia. And he's collecting, not only from his individual dealings, but everyone owes him a piece. Zacchaeus. And isn't it ironic that Zacchaeus, which is his name in Greek, reflects a Hebrew word which means pure and innocent. It's the kind of name when you had to say it, you'd spit on the ground. Zacchaeus. He's loaded. Zacchaeus is obviously lost because Jesus comes to seek the lost, does he not? I knew a young man, he was as young as I was in college, named Don. And he was from the Promised Land, that is Brooklyn, and he was a son of Abraham, like Zacchaeus. And unlike other business-minded people, he decided to take an artsy kind of major. And I talked with him once about why he did this artsy kind of major rather than the usual business major. He said it would stimulate his creative juices, because my goal in life is to make a lot of money. Well, Don never got the chance. He died at 27. He was lost. And what was the particular way Zacchaeus was lost? He was lost the same way. Covetousness. He wanted all this world could offer. Do you think Zacchaeus knew he was lost? Do you think he knew he was in darkness as he pursued this line of work? Have you ever been in a place like the Grand Caverns in Virginia? Have you ever been underground in caverns where once you come in, you're cut off from the above ground and you might descend, as we did, hundreds of feet down? I hope no one has claustrophobia. Down into the heart of the earth. You go a quarter mile into this open area where some people would have their weddings, can you believe it? Or back in the 19th century, they would have parties. I hope those candles don't blow out. But you get down there about a quarter of a mile away in, and you're hundreds of feet, and then the guide turns out the light. And besides feeling for your wallet to make sure it's still there, for some, and now you know you'll never visit the caverns, a sense of utter terror. You are lost. You can literally not see the hand in front of your face. You cannot see it. How could you ever get out? You're lost. You could never get out. Or perhaps what's worse than being broken down on the highway? You're in the left lane. Your car breaks down. And this is before GPS. And you don't have a cell phone. Or if you do, it's one of those simple phones, and all you can do is call Dad. Dad, come and get me. I broke down in the left lane. I'm somewhere in Pennsylvania. Where? Philadelphia? Pittsburgh? I don't know. I'm lost. Come and get me. Have you ever been lost? You have no idea of where you are and how to get out? Well, Zacchaeus and most of the world, or much of the world, is lost and they don't know it. They think they know. And you thought you knew too. You thought you knew. You thought you knew what life was about. You thought you knew and could organize things at least fairly decently to make yourself happy. But you were in that cavern just like Zacchaeus. So can I ask you this question? Do you complain about lost people? You won't believe what he did at work this past week. You won't believe what she said. She thinks she is so... Friend, how do you expect lost people to act? They're lost. Now, their conscience tells them they ought to be better, but part of the lostness is they don't listen to the conscience, or they tell their conscience they're doing better than they are. You have to expect lost people to act lost. That's part of believing the gospel, so don't complain about them. Show them that you're found. And let them see in you the power of Jesus, at times to bite your tongue or to use it only to bless. So he's loaded. He's lost. But he's also looking. He has heard about this Jesus, and how much he knows, we don't know. But he knows the parade route, and he knows he can't see who this Jesus is. So he'll get up in the tree, so that when Jesus passes by, he gets a look for himself. If you had any inkling that you're lost, would you make effort to find out who this Jesus really is? Would you make that effort? Well, secondly, now Jesus passes by. Enough about Zacchaeus. Because Jesus is seeking the lost like Zacchaeus. It's no accident that he comes to Jericho. He's coming to Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. That's the whole point of Luke's gospel. Read the end of chapter 9. He left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite, his love, emptied himself of all but what? Glory. He left the glory behind. He brought the love with him to seek and to save Adam's helpless race. And so here is Jesus. He describes himself as the Son of Man, which is really a reference to his deity, although obviously the connection with his humanity. Here is grace so rich and so free. So the moment arrives when Zacchaeus we'll see Jesus come to the spot. And do you see the imagery? Not only do you have the lost man who has to make some kind of effort, don't say, well, if I'm elect, I'm elect, and if I'm not, I'm not. There's nothing I can do about it. Yes, you can. Get up in the tree. Read your Bible. Come to church. Hear the preaching of the word. Ask people to pray for you. You can get up in the tree. And then Jesus passes by. The glorious Son of Man is now under the lowest of the low. Do you see it? The Prince of Heaven has so come down to save sinners like us on earth that he is physically under the lowest of the low named Zacchaeus. That's how great his love is for sinners like us. That's how low he will go to save the lost. Well, he calls him by name, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm staying at your house today. People grumble. Doesn't he know he's a sinner? Jesus receives him. And without much more said, Zacchaeus says, Lord, you know, right off the bat, I give half my goods to the poor. Right off the bat, 50%. 50% to the less fortunate. And of the remaining amount, I restore fourfold. So whatever kind of faith he has in Jesus is immediately demonstrated in acts of true repentance. And Jesus didn't even say, as he did to the rich young ruler, sell all you have. It's just his immediate response. It's the fruit of faith, whatever faith he now has in this Jesus. It shows an immediate response of repentance and its fruits. This is not easy believism. This is not, oh, you want to be saved? Say the prayer. This is the heartfelt confession of a man who was contrite and names his own sins when Jesus doesn't even do it. So when you hear the gospel of Christ's glorious love and the holiness of God is somehow shining through all the parts of the worship service, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Do you say that? I'm the sinner that needs forgiveness. And so, like singing angels, and we would think shepherds in chapter 2, Zacchaeus is happy. He's rejoicing. And he gets down and he prepares, and they come to his household. Do you notice that? Verse 9, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Friends, there's happiness in this house because at least Zacchaeus realizes he was in a darker place than those Chilean miners years ago, trapped for days upon end, hundreds of feet under the ground, who finally were brought up and could see the light of day. Overjoyed. Have you forgotten what it means to be saved? Have you forgotten? Do you have to pray, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation? I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. As you see the pit of hell from which you were delivered, as you see the wrath, the awful but righteous judgment of God coming upon you for your sins and delivered through the blood of Christ's sacrifice, following his holy life, his glorious resurrection, his ascension into heaven, you are saved by him and him alone. If anything were up to you, you'd be in the pit. It's all up to Jesus. And he's done it for you because he loves you and he sought you. He sought you. You weren't looking for him. He was looking for you. Doesn't that put joy in your heart no matter what else is going on? And you feel like jumping for joy and singing with jubilation when you come together as the people of God. He's happy. If your religion doesn't make you happy, get another one. May I recommend Christianity? Christ at the center. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so Jesus seeks and finds the lost Zacchaeus. That's why he's come. So lastly, what does this have to do with us even more particularly? Well, as I've already suggested, we're like Zacchaeus. We are naturally blind. We are naturally lost. We are naturally covetous. Our natural inclination, unless we're overcome by the Spirit of God, is to live for things on this earth. And what do you think more about? If you were in love with two women, Jane and Mary, and you didn't know which one to propose to, Jane, should I propose to Jane? Should I propose to Mary? Well, the simple question is, which one do you love more? Which one do you think about more? Oh, it's Jane, okay. Well, God, mammon, God, mammon, God. Which do I really love more? Where's my heart? Well, it's easy. What do you think about more? What do you talk about more? What gives you greater contentment and excitement? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You love one, not the other. He really only loves one woman. Who's the woman you love? Are you Zacchaeus? Jesus came for you, Zacchaeus. Put your trust in him. He will absolve you of your sins and give you greater riches. Or maybe you're like the disciples who are watching this go on. And they say, oh, this is why we're here. If the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost, I guess we should do the same, at least the first part of it, the seeking. It's a glorious thing to seek people. It's glorious. Fish don't hop in the boat. They don't somehow look for your hook to get on. You must become a fisher of men and women. This is ultimately, while on earth, Calvary Community Church exists. You don't need a new pastor for this to happen. Bringing people to church is not the complete application, it's one. You might be laboring for people to come to Christ, and for one reason or another, they never come to this church. Praise God, that's fine. And we may be very friendly, which we are, to first-time visitors. But do we ask, well, what happened to those people I greeted last week? Where did they go? Did you notice? I'm not saying why they did or didn't, but do you think about these things? You're welcoming, very welcoming so often, to people brought by someone else. Well, when was the last time you brought someone else? And to sharpen it even more, someone you're not related to. You walked the streets of Jericho and you found him or her. Because you were on a mission. I don't have time for that. Yes, you do. It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of vision. It's a matter of how you see people. Lost or found? Lost or found? Lost or found? Everyone ultimately is one or the other. So it's the great privilege of Calvary Church among other congregations. While we have breath, as opportunity exists and continues, to seek and let the Lord save those that are lost. Amen. Let us pray. Great God and Heavenly Father, where would we be without Jesus? We shudder to think, but we also give great thanks and praise with adoration that he came to seek us by name. Send us as we have already been sent on our holy mission. In Jesus' name, amen.